Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and Green Bay, Wisconsin. ProfHearingCare.com. By Blaine's Farm and Fleet, serving Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan with 45 locations and everything you need for life in the Midwest. You can shop online anytime at farmandfleet.com. And by Huntworth Gear, engineered for performance and available at Blaine's Farm and Fleet and other retailers. HuntworthGear.com. And we want to welcome our newest presenting sponsor, Beast Gear. Industry leaders in lightweight climbing sticks and tree stands, an efficient mobile hunting system that maximizes portability and durability, huntingbeastgear.com. I'm Dan Small. Today, a Lake Michigan report and a new photo book on the Great Lakes. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupie and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit Hupie.com. And all 11 offices of Hupie and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. While Jeff Kelm is enjoying his annual camping and fishing trip on Iron County's Turtle Flambeau Flowage with his son Robert, they usually spend a few days camping on an island and fishing there. I was hoping he'd be home in time to record with this week's show, but we'll try to get his report on next week's show. Meanwhile, I'm in Chattanooga this week for the annual Outdoor Writers Association of America conference. I fished for bass on Lake Chickamauga on Monday with guide Ben Hayes and fellow outdoor writer Reen Waterman. Chickamauga is a flowage on the Tennessee River just east of Chattanooga. It's loaded with bass, catfish, panfish, and even some walleyes, though we didn't see any walleyes. We fished with stand-up jigs and floating plastic worms and caught a handful of bass. Nothing big, but quite a variety. In fact, what Ben Hayes called the Tennessee River Grand Slam, four species, largemouth, smallmouth, spotted bass, and meanmouth, which is apparently a natural hybrid cross between a smallmouth and a spotted bass. It's kind of the bass equivalent of a sawgeye, tiger muskie, or tiger trout. None of them were very big, as I mentioned, but it was fun to catch four different species. I recorded an interview with Ben and Reen after our trip, and I'll try to play it on next week's show. And after the conference, I'll be fishing below the dam on the Tennessee River for giant catfish with Captain Aaron Massey. And then I'm heading to North Carolina to fish with my brother Mike. We're going to spend a few days after trout and muskies, and finally I'll be heading home back to the farm and the chores that are waiting for me there for sure. Well, coming up, it's an all Great Lakes show. Charter Captain Dumper Dan Welch reports on Lake Michigan fishing action off Sheboygan, and photographer David Zurich talks about his new book, The Third Coast, Great Photos of American Great Lakes Shoreline. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society, toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com. Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. It's time for another Lake Michigan fishing report brought to you by Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store on South Pier Drive in Sheboygan and on the web at DumperDan.com. And don't forget Dumper Dan's Facebook page, Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. There you'll find photos, videos, and every fishing report we record on Outdoors Radio. And you also find some pretty exciting video that we'll talk about here in just a minute. And this week's report is also brought to you by a bunch of sponsors who joined us earlier this year. We'll let Dan tell you about them. Jesse and Sarah are the new owners of six establishments in the Sheboygan area. The Super Six Pack, we're calling them. Frankie's Pub, Champ's Sports Bar and Grill on Indiana Avenue, Dio's Pizzeria in Plymouth, Shuff's on the north side of Sheboygan, Pettick's on the south side, and Lino's on the river on South Pier, just a block closer to the lake from Dumper Dan. Well, joining us now with what little time we got left after all those sponsors is Charter Captain Dumper Dan Welsh. Dan, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
Oh, you bet, Dan. It's great to be back. And I really hope, Dan, a lot of people are following us this summer, as they usually do, keeping everybody informed of what's going on beautiful Lake Michigan.
Beautiful Lake Michigan has been a bit of a meanie this last few days, hasn't it? Or last weekend and earlier in the week.
It has. I mean, it's been a beautiful summer, Dan, and been gorgeous on the water. In fact, 3-4 days ago, we had glass calm conditions. You can see the pictures on our Facebook page. Just beautiful, but then it turned for the worst. Check out our video on Facebook. I want you guys to check that out. I went down to the pier, took a video of that this morning, the beach, the break walls, and the breakers coming in. I got to thank all of our clients over all the 40 years I've been doing this, that they work with me on bad weather days to get everything rescheduled, because after you watch that video, you're going to be for certain that you're definitely do not want to go out in them kind of conditions, as you'll see on that video. We had 10.5-foot seas this morning on Lake Michigan. It was extremely rough.
Yeah, and you say this morning, we are recording this on Monday, and of course by the time it airs, it will be the weekend, and we hope nice weather once again. But you just have to roll with the punches the big lake throws you, don't you?
Oh, exactly. And the weather changes by the day. And like I said, we've had a good summer, but, you know, sometimes you just got to pull back and gather the troops here and bring them in my store, get them out of the weather, the rain, the high winds, everything, and look at the book and reschedule. We want to get everybody out there when the fish are biting and the lake is nice and calm. And that's what we do the majority of the time. But when the weather gets like this, you got to start looking at plan B, and that's what we do to get people back. And it works. I've been doing that for 40 years, and Mother Nature is Mother Nature, and we got to deal with it when she hits us with something like this. So, but like I said, previously, before this weather came in, we had gorgeous conditions. We've had a lot of south winds, Dan, just light south winds that turn the water over. And in August, you know, our water temperature was 74 degrees on the surface, which is kind of normal. Mm-hmm. It's warm water. It's the middle of summer, late summer, mid-August. And this turned the water over by 20 degrees, Dan, and went to 54 degrees on the surface. And I'll tell you what, the king action just went through the roof. I mean, it was phenomenal for a week and a half here, king fishing closer to shore. And that's what that cold water will do. And August is a great month to get on out here to cash in on some of them fish.
Now, how do you catch them when they're in that close?
We catch them in that close, in that 50 to 100 foot range usually, and we fish them with our higher equipment setups like we do like in May and June, you know, when the water's that same temperature at that time of year. And these kings are super active. They fight really hard, and spoons are a bait of choice. Salmon candies, moonshine, pro king, yuck spoon, stinger spoons. Spoons are really good in the colder water. We run them on our higher setups, slide divers, downriggers, down 20, 30, 40 feet, lead core again, on the planer boards, 2, 3, and 5 color lead core. So everything basically like in that top 40 to 50 foot range, so the top half of the water column wherever you're at. And you'll see that on your graph or flasher. The pods of baitfish are up higher. The hook marks are up higher in the water column, down 30, 40, 50 feet. And that's where these fish are. And they're fun to catch. And when you hook up on one or two, they can turn into 3 or 4 real quick.
Dan, how big are they running? Are you catching the 4-year-olds now?
We are catching all different sizes. The average size king right now is like that 2 to 3-year-old, mostly 2-year-olds, I want to say, which are awesome on the grill. They're fun to catch. They're good fighting. They average, Dan, about 10 to 12 pounds each. That's the majority of the fish we're catching right now. But we had some 20-pound kings mixed in with that, the 4-year-olds. So good variety, good eating size kings, and good numbers of kings.
Well, Dan, have you got openings for the rest of August and September?
I do. I have a few dates open late August. I'll tell you, Dan, our books filled up fast in August. It went from probably 40% full to 98% full real quick, and that's due to good fishing and, for the most part, good weather. But yeah, I do have a few dates open here in late August yet. That early September, get on out here. I mean, that early September, the first 15 days, excellent for king fishing. These fish will come in closer, and they'll start their spawning patterns here in front of the Sheboygan Harbor, usually are give or take around Labor Day weekend. So get on out here. Give me a call, 920-377-1147. We'll get you on the water either morning or afternoon. Otherwise, check out our Facebook page, Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters, for all pictures and updates and that video on the weather. Check it out. And then also DumperDan.com on the internet.
Yeah, that's some spectacular water action there on South Pier. It kind of looks like the waves that the guys look for when they're surfing in the wintertime.
Exactly, and there was a few of them that came down midday today, and they were doing some surfing and some kite flying, and I don't know if you ever seen the old show on TV, I'm sure you guys all have, Hawaii 5-0. Well, that's what it looked like here in the Port of Sheboygan.
Wow. Well, let's talk about the Super Six Pack. Now, these are new owners, Jesse and Sarah, and they've got businesses all over the area.
They do. They do an awesome job at all 6 of their establishments and all different kinds of food at each of these. So you can pretty much key in on what you want as to where you go. My wife and I and my family, we eat at all of them periodically, and they're very, very good. One is in Plymouth, which is 10 miles west of Sheboygan, but the other 5 are in Sheboygan. And like I said, Sarah and Jesse just do a great job. They got a great staff, great family helping them run these businesses.
Yeah, Dio's, that's the one in Plymouth. That's a pizzeria. And then Frankie's and Champs, tell us about those.
Yeah, they're pretty close to each other, actually. They're on Indiana Avenue. Champs is a pub and grill. Excellent, excellent chicken wings, burgers, pool tables, dartboards, gambling machines. Just a good bar and grill. Frankie's pretty similar, but they're known a lot for their fish fries. And they have, they call it the biggest burger in town. It's just a ginormous steak sandwich that is really filling and really good at Frankie's. Them two are really unique in their own way, and they're real close to each other. And they're really close to my outfit on the river and only a few blocks up the hill.
Yeah, you could walk over to Indiana from your place.
Absolutely. And then you got Nino's. They're right down the boardwalk from us, the Fisherman's Boardwalk on the river. It's more fine dining. They have a great menu there and just a great, great view right on the Sheboygan River. Shuffs now. That's out closer to my house out on the northwest side of town. Good pub and grill, good roasted chicken, good burgers. Soups are excellent. Great bar atmosphere at Shuffs. That's another good one too. And then on the south side of town, Pettick's, a famous name for many, many years here in Sheboygan. Great fish fry again on Friday, smaller bar and grill, but definitely a place to stop and check out at Pettick's. So you got all six of them. They're all very popular in their own ways. Shuffs, Leon's, Frankie's, Champs, Pettick's, and Dio's. Check them out.
All right. Well, Dan, we're going to let you go. I hope that the weather improves by the time this airs and that you're looking at smooth sailing into Labor Day and beyond, because that's when the big kings come in close, and that's some of the most exciting fishing of the year.
Oh, absolutely. We can't wait to get going here. We're back on the water actually today and tomorrow, pretty much every day, and we're going to target these kings as they're in the area and keep on them here for the next month.
All right. We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
You bet. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. Folks, that was Dumper Dan Welch with the Lake Michigan Fishing Report from Sheboygan. His business, Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store on South Pier Drive, and on the web at dumperdan.com. His Facebook page has some exciting video if you want to see some waves breaking over South Pier. And, of course, our fishing report is there every time we do one. And don't forget to check out the Super Six Pack, Frankie's, Champs, Dio's, Shuff's, Pettick's, and Leno's on the river on South Pier, just a block from Dumper Dan's. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now from Kentucky is David Zurich. He holds a PhD in geography from the University of Hawaii, and he taught geography at Eastern Kentucky University for a number of years. He's recently retired, and he's the author of a lot of books. His books and photography have won numerous awards, including the National Outdoor Book Award, and he received the Mount Everest Award for his lifetime achievement in Himalayan studies. He's also a fellow of the Explorers Club. His latest book, The Third Coast, America's Great Lakes Shoreline, was just published by Northwestern University Press, and you can learn more about it on his website, davidzurich.com, and he spells his name with a K, Z-U-R-I-C-K, davidzurich.com. Well, David, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to talk with you. You grew up on one of the Great Lakes, Lake Huron. I spent my childhood fishing and swimming in Lake Erie and Lake Ontario growing up in western New York, so we have that connection to the lakes in common. Then I lived just off Lake Superior. You could see it from my roof if you climbed up on the roof, and my son lives there in Bayfield now, and I lived for many years just a few miles from Lake Michigan. So your lake is the only one of the five that I have not spent any time on. You grew up there. What was it like growing up on the shores of Lake Huron?
Well, it was a lovely place to grow up. Having that big body of water, just really, it was just a couple blocks from where my home was. Would go down different times of the year, in the summertime, obviously, to swim and boat and that type of thing. I learned how to fish on Lake Huron. Actually, the town where I lived and grew up, Port Huron, is right where Lake Huron dumps into the St. Clair River. So I grew up kind of on both of those waterways, learning how to fish, walleye, perch fishing, that kind of stuff. So really, in terms of my own background, up until my late teens, the lake was the focus in a lot of different ways.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it was wonderful.
Okay. And you have a marvelous foreword in your book by Jerry Dennis, a mutual friend of ours. I haven't seen him in years, but he's an outdoor writer from Michigan. And he says a few things that kind of capture the sense of this book. Those of us who live near them have gained a basic understanding of the lakes he's talking about, but most people around the world don't get it. They don't know the most fundamental things about the lakes, that they are so big you can't see across them, that they have been critical to the economic and political futures, not just of the U.S. and Canada, but around the world because of the shipping on the lakes. How big they are, 95% of the fresh water in the U.S. and 20% worldwide, and that their coastline is longer than the Atlantic and Pacific coasts combined. I mean, that gives a reader who's not been familiar with the lakes a little sense of how big they are.
It does, you know, and when I was young, in my teen years and early life, I didn't really know any of those statistics myself.
No.
I knew it as this huge body of water with this horizon, you know? And then moving away from the Great Lakes and living much of my adult life in another part of the country, going back to the lakes, you know, I was always struck by the scale of those bodies of water, you know, the immensity of those bodies of water. And then when you start to learn a little bit about them, you just realize, yeah, the significance of those lakes is really global, you know? I always saw it from a very local point of view, place to go, place to swim, place to fish, but in totality, they are an incredible natural resource for this country and for the planet, really.
Yes, indeed. And in the afterword of your book, you write that into your travels, you began to discover that each lake has its own personality, and you organized your photos seasonally, but you organized your efforts according to the personalities of each lake. And we could spend a lot of time on each lake, but let's take your lake, Lake Huron. What is its personality?
So this is an interesting thing. When I go back and read that afterward, I wonder myself what it is I was actually referring to, but now I think I know what it is. I suppose it's not so much the personality of the lakes themselves, but the lakes kind of reflecting my own personality. So in the case of Lake Huron, it's the autumn season. I went up there to visit my brother and family up in the Thumb area of Michigan. And coming from Kentucky, I put my kayak and bike and camera gear into my truck and tool on up there. And cruising along Lake Huron in the fall, this was in late October, early November. It's kind of a autumnal, you know, melancholy season. I had a lot of memories. I was going up along the lake shore that, you know, my family, we would drive up there every year to visit folks. And so it was kind of introducing me to my past, if you want to think about it that way, or reintroducing me to my past and reliving it in a way. So it had that reflective sort of aspect to it, and that fit the fall season for Lake Huron. So I just kind of went with that and started to imagine how I might organize my efforts, my photography, where I would go, what time of year, and it sorted out lake by season, with Lake Huron being the first one. Just happened to be the fall when I went up there to pay a visit.
Uh-huh. Now, we should say that you started this project during COVID when everybody was pretty much shut down from traveling, and yet you managed to travel by car around the lakes.
That's correct. I was actually in the middle of another photo project in India at the time. That spring, I think it was March 2020, and I had to come back to the U.S. You know, the international travel was shutting down, and then a few months go by, and I'm kind of spinning my wheels a little bit here in Kentucky, thinking what I might do closer to home that was manageable, you know, keeping the social distance, all the things that we had to consider at that time. And so I decided, well, let's get my truck and I take my camping gear and I'm not going to be around anybody. And it was fall. It was November. The campgrounds were pretty much empty by then. So I felt real comfortable moving around in that world. And so that was really the trigger for the project. COVID shutting down international travel, and I put a hold on another project I was working on and switched over to this Great Lakes. And it worked out very, very nicely, you know, particularly the way I was traveling solo with my wife in a truck and a camping gear. And we could pretty much be pretty independent in the way we were dealing with stuff.
And your photos for Lake Superior are all winter photos, and you actually start the book in the middle of winter on Lake Superior on the ice, the Madeline Island ice road that those of us who've lived up there or visited know well, people ice fishing and
the ice caves and ice climbing and the murals in Ashland. Lake Superior is beautiful any time of year, but it's pretty stark and white in the winter.
It is, you know, and when I was trying to imagine lining up these lakes with seasons, I mean, there was really no question in my mind. Lake Superior just had to be winter. Partly the starkness, but just the extremity of it. You know, the temperatures, the snow, the icebound aspect to it had an appeal for me. And I was spending quite a bit of time up in northern Wisconsin, Bayfield area, and some of these images are from that area. But the Apostle Islands, you know, I was going up to check out the ice caves. You know, they haven't been accessible for a number of years, and I never did make it to them. The changes in water temperature and the way that affects the currents beneath the ice have made that ice unstable enough. It's a national lakeshore. They won't even allow people to go walking out to those ice caves,
right,
the really famous ones. So I switched gears a little bit, and I found some smaller, very beautiful ice caves, but not the ones I happened to be looking for. And the front cover of the book shows this rock formation that is just jutting out of the ice. It looks like it's going to topple over at any moment. I came across that after about a two-mile trek across the ice with an ice guide, a guy who actually does this for a living. He guides people across this ice, and he knows the ice very well and knows where it's safe and what to do and where to go. And when I came on that particular outcropping of rock, it just really struck me, the power of it, you know, this looming mass coming out of the ice. But really that whole shoreline during the winter time just really intrigued me. All the ice fishermen there in Chequabagon Bay, I'd be walking out, you know, a mile on the ice and knock on somebody's shanty, you know, and introduce myself. That was always an interesting thing, you know.
Cool. David, we've got to take a break here. Will you stay with us?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Folks, I'm talking with David Zurich. He is the author of a new book, The Third Coast, America's Great Lakes Shoreline. His website is davidzurich.com, Zurich with a K, Z-U-R-I-C-K. We will be back and ask him more about this new book right after this. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
A Blaine's Farm and Fleet original story.
Why is everyone coming on their riding mowers and UTVs?
I figured all the neighbors could use a break from yard work, so I invited them for a...
Ooh, a ride-on lawnmower movie?
Or, as I like to say, a movie.
For beautiful lawns, backyard parties, and everything in between, we've got the values you need to do things your way. Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Be an original.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to three waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot breakwater falls, 22-foot LaSalle falls, and Washburn falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Are you ready to wake up the deep bite? Meet the Gold Miner 30 from Rapala, your new secret weapon for trolling the depths to wake up your next trophy catch. This hard-running bait dives fast to 30 feet with a wide tail swing and a loud rattle, built to fire up big walleye, lake trout, northern pike, muskie, and more. Whether you're working the breaks on Lake of the Woods or chasing giants on Mille Lacs, the Gold Miner 30 tracks true at any speed and comes in 20 proven colors. Find yours now at Rapala.com or your favorite fishing retailer.
Outdoor Radio is brought to you by Beast Gear, industry leaders in lightweight mobile hunting climbing sticks, tree stands, and accessories. Our patented tree stands are forged from a solid billet of aluminum, creating an ultra-lightweight and efficient mobile hunting system that maximizes portability and durability. Stop watching missed opportunities from a distance. Get mobile with Beast Gear climbing sticks, tree stands, and accessories at huntingbeastgear.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. Huntworthgear.com. That's Huntworthgear.com.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp, telling stories, and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to ProHearingCare.com to book a free consultation.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. I'm talking with David Zurich, a PhD in geography from the University of Hawaii and a former teacher at Eastern Kentucky University in geography, and the author of many books, the winner of many awards. His latest book is The Third Coast, America's Great Lakes Shoreline, published by Northwestern University Press. And the cover, we were just talking about it before we took the break, features one of those sandstone outcroppings not far from shore on Lake Superior. And David, you photographed that in the winter of 2022, I guess, right, when you were walking along the shore?
That's correct, yes. Very cold.
yeah. A lot of us have been there and done that. We were talking about the starkness of Lake Superior in the wintertime, and I happened to note that a lot of the photos are abandoned buildings or boarded up buildings in all seasons. You visit Lakes Erie and Ontario in the summer and Lake Michigan in the spring. And there are photos of people doing things in the summertime, but boy, the rest of the year, except for the ice fishermen and the occasional hiker or fisherman you come across, it almost has an Appalachian feel in the starkness of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting observation there. And I can give you a little bit of background of what I'm thinking about when I'm out to make a photograph. There's not a lot of what you might think of as picturesque or natural scenery in the book. I mean, it appears, but oftentimes it's kind of as a backdrop. What I am most interested in photographing is the human landscape, the cultural landscape. And I am interested in that because for me as a photographer and actually as a geographer as well, we build our lives in these places and we change and transform these places, and then we can look at what we've built and it kind of becomes a mirror, a reflection of society, of our values and our lifestyles, our economies. And so I see the landscape as a photographer in that way, not so much as a result of natural processes like a photographer who might be photographing, you know, natural landscapes, but as a result of human processes. So that enters into almost all of these photographs in one way or another. And to a certain extent, it may be a landscape that is abandoned in the sense that people have left that behind. In other cases, they're lived in places. So it runs the gamut there, but I would say the vast majority, I mean, really 80, 90% of the photographs in one way or another touch on that idea of us people, human beings, living in a place, changing it, shaping it, cultivating it so that it corresponds to our needs or ideas or desires in some way or another.
Yeah, that comes through for sure. What do you want us to take away from this book besides here's a bunch of pretty pictures about the Great Lakes?
I guess I see kind of two audiences for folks who live in the Great Lakes region. You know, I grew up there and you live in that area, and many people who might be looking at this book are from the Great Lakes. Maybe to showcase the diversity of these lakes. You know, we can't get to know them all. A lot of us spend a lot of time getting to know a small area very, very well. But these lakes are huge, as we've talked about. The scale is enormous. The diversity is great. A sense, I guess, of that diversity and grandness of these lakes, which sometimes doesn't penetrate our minds when we live in a place. It becomes part of our everyday life, and we start to even take things for granted. So that would be one kind of an audience, and the idea of this whole range of diversity of these lakes. The other audience would be for folks who aren't from the Great Lakes and maybe have never visited this area, to give them a sense of what this geographic feature is. And again, its size, its scale, its diversity, the kinds of lifestyles that we find along the lakes, the natural settings that we might encounter there. So it's really those two groups of people could see this book, I guess, in a couple of different ways.
Mm-hmm. You spent, I don't know how many weeks doing this, but obviously you were on each of these lakes for a number of days or weeks. Were there any great surprises to you in your travels and your discoveries?
A lot of the time I was camping. That's how I was kind of moving through these lakes. And as I mentioned before, I had my truck and a kayak, so I'd be puttering around in the water, and I had my camera and taking pictures. And, you know, in terms of surprises, I mean, every day is a surprise to me. And you come across just very ordinary things that are surprising, and then some kind of extraordinary things. I mean, some of these Apostle Islands area we talked about earlier, you know, just exquisite landforms up there. And then some of the coastal developments that I had no idea what was going on. Northwestern Michigan area, for example, has developed quite a bit. Things like I'd go up to the sand dunes. There's one image in the book, you know, of these trees growing out of the dunes. And at first I'm thinking, wow, look at these trees growing out of the sand dunes. But that's not the case. You know, these sand dunes are moving.
Yeah.
So they've migrated into the forest.
Yeah.
You know? So all of those little things add up to just a real joy. I had a tremendous amount of fun. It was a lot of my photography gets at the same thing. It's an excuse to go out and have an adventure in this big, wide, beautiful world we live in. And this was the same with this book here.
Yeah.
In that way, you know, it was for me a personal journey. Some places I knew, some places I didn't know, but in some, I have to say I had as big an adventure working on this photo project as I've had working on any photo project anywhere in the world, and that includes places like in the Himalaya and India and Polynesia and all these kind of exotic spots.
Wow, yeah. Well, and I grew up near Niagara Falls, and, you know, we would visit it. I might have been to the falls 3 times in 20 years when I lived there. People take your locale for granted.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's there, I can go tomorrow kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly, yeah. And we would visit the falls when people would come in from out of town. Never been to the falls.
Right.
Oh, let's go, you know. So.
Right. Yeah, no. I do that down here in Kentucky where I'm living, you know. It's an excuse to go see a place.
Sure.
And see it through the eyes of that other person, in part. You know, I guess that's part of Dan, you mentioned about a takeaway on this book. We all see things in our own unique ways. Sometimes it's helpful and enjoyable to see a place through the eyes of another person. And so what you're looking at when you look at this book is, in a way, the Great Lakes through my eyes. So, yeah.
Yeah, and through your, I will in a kind way say through your quirky mind too, because.
Well, this is absolutely true, because, you know, when you start thumbing through the pages of the book and you see some of these pictures, yeah, there's a quirkiness going on there.
Yeah. You're a professional photographer, and of course I sell a lot of photos with the articles that I write, but I still stop and shoot roadside things like those pirates on the bench and that gal in a bikini.
The Uniroyal Tire Gal?
Yeah. There are, you know, homemade sculptures. I can remember one, oh gosh, more than a decade ago when Brett Favre was playing for the Packers, and in the fall people make sculptures and put them in their yard, and there was Favre throwing a pass to Mark Chmura, and they were pumpkin heads and they were wearing Packers shirts. I had to photograph that. What I'll ever do with it, I don't know.
There's one photo in this book on Lake Erie. It was actually a boat was parked there in the back of it. It says, been feeling eerie.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
E-R-I-E.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. You really capture the sense, the feel of a lot of these towns. You know, I've only visited some of them in recent years, but as I mentioned, I grew up fishing. My dad's two aunts had cottages at Wilson, New York, which, you know, is now a major marina. And if that land were still in the family, you know, we could probably just sell it and retire. But, you know, that's long, long gone.
Right, yeah.
Well, where can we buy your book, David?
The book's available from really any of the booksellers that people like to frequent and use. I mean, it's online, it's available, and Northwestern University Press, you know, you can get it from them. Or really, I'm a big fan of independent bookstores, so if a bookstore doesn't have it on hand, they could easily order it. I suspect because of its Great Lakes focus, bookstores in your listeners' area, living area, residential area, they would be able to get the book very easily. Wherever people feel that they want to support their local bookstore, I'm sure they can get it.
All right. Well, I'm with you on supporting local bookstores, and I think that's a great idea. Well, we will send folks to your website, which is davidzurick.com, for a sneak peek at the book. And as David mentioned, you can buy it just about anywhere. It's a very nice book. It's not a huge book. It's kind of a coffee table book in a sense, because it's the kind of book that you can pick up and really just kind of go through one section or just skip around, and, you know, you'll find some themes there. And I would imagine every reader will find his or her own themes as they go through your book.
I hope that's the case. Yeah. I'm not interested in explaining anything. I'm just interested in presenting things, and people can think about it the way they want to, you know?
There you go. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And what's your next project?
Well, I'm actually working on a project here in Appalachia, close to home here. You mentioned that earlier in the program.
Sure.
So this is a project that's very easy to me. I can just get in my truck and drive for an hour, and I'm where I need to be. That's a lot of fun.
Very good.
I'm doing that now.
All right. Well, good luck with that one, and we will perhaps talk with you again.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Dan. It was a pleasure to be speaking with you. And again, thanks very much for inviting me on your program.
You're quite welcome. It's been a pleasure. Folks, that was David Zurick. He's the author of many books, including his latest, The Third Coast, America's Great Lakes Shoreline, a book of photographs of all five of the Great Lakes, the shoreline areas. I think you'll find it fascinating. So check it out. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Outdoor Radio is brought to you by Beast Gear. Industry leaders in lightweight mobile hunting climbing sticks, tree stands, and accessories. Our patented tree stands are forged from a solid billet of aluminum, creating an ultra-lightweight and efficient mobile hunting system that maximizes portability and durability. Stop watching missed opportunities from a distance. Get mobile with Beast Gear climbing sticks, tree stands, and accessories at huntingbeastgear.com.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to three waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot breakwater falls, 22-foot LaSalle Falls, and Washburn Falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
A Blaine's Farm and Fleet original story.
Why is everyone coming on their riding mowers and UTVs?
I figured all the neighbors could use a break from yard work, so I invited them for a...
Ooh, a ride-on lawnmower movie?
Or, as I like to say, a movie.
For beautiful lawns, backyard parties, and everything in between, we've got the values you need to do things your way. Blaine's Farm and Fleet, being original.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend and on the web at cedarlakesales.com, by Crestliner Boats at crestliner.com, and by Mercury Marine at mercurymarine.com. You can see the latest Crestliner boats and Mercury outboards at Cedar Lake Sales, and they have a clearance sale going on now on 2025 model year boats and pontoons with some real bargains, including a boat of the week. Look for the boat of the week on their homepage. Cedar Lake Sales storage reservations are now open to everyone, and they'll fill up. So if you want a spot, you better contact them soon. We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and Green Bay, profhearingcare.com. By Blaine's Farm and Fleet, serving Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan, with 45 locations and everything you need for life in the Midwest. Shop online anytime at farmandfleet.com. By Huntworth Gear, engineered for performance and available at Farm and Fleet and other retailers, huntworthgear.com. And we're also brought to you by our newest sponsor, Beast Gear, industry leaders in lightweight climbing sticks and tree stands, an efficient mobile hunting system that maximizes portability and durability. huntingbeastgear.com. If our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And if you missed my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special, you can watch it on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel. And if you missed any dates, websites, or phone numbers we mentioned, you can always listen online at lake-link.com/radio. And you can subscribe to our podcast there or download episodes going back a year or so. And our show is also available as a podcast on many platforms, including the Outdoor News website, outdoornews.com/podcasts. We're all over social media. You can find Jeff at Hardwater Jeff and me at Dan Small Outdoors. The DNR is urging new hunters to enroll in a hunter education course now before the season's open. Classes fill quickly, so don't delay. If you're a new hunter, or if you have a friend or a youngster who's a new hunter, better get them enrolled now. Find details on the DNR website. Keywords are safety education. And eligible hunters will have until September 15th to contact and confirm a location for a deer hunt for hunters with disabilities. The hunt will take place on October 4th through the 12th this year. And for more information, the DNR website has it. Keywords there are deer hunting for hunters with disabilities. The DNR is also accepting applications for a special deer hunt at Sandhill Wildlife Area. That's near Babcock and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge, just north of there, actually. The deadline to apply is September 22nd, and the hunt dates are November 8th and 9th. For details, visit the DNR website, this time the keywords Sandhill Wildlife Area Deer Hunt. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. For more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small. We'll try to get Jeff back on the show next week. Meanwhile, get outside this weekend wherever you are, and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
Oh, how I love leaving the shore. When the cool night swallows the moose's nose, and the heron is fishing on one cold leg, when the loon cries lover in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry, coffee can, honey.